Laudato Jesus Christus. This is the English program of Vatican Radio.
Hello, and welcome to our half-hour English feature program. I'm Susie Hodges. Coming up on today's program, the Pope at the World Youth Day event in Madrid. Pope Benedict is on the penultimate day of his four-day pilgrimage to Madrid for the World Youth Day celebrations. And we bring you our latest reports on this visit from our correspondent in the Spanish capital. We also have an interview with Bishop Roach of Leeds in England and a group of British pilgrims who give their feedback on the World Youth Day event and also comment on the recent violence and looting by young people in the UK. Pope Benedict has said he will shortly proclaim as Doctor of the Church the 16th century Spanish preacher, St. John of Avila. The Pope's announcement came during the celebration of a Mass with seminarians in Madrid's Almudena Cathedral on Saturday, the third day of his visit to the Spanish capital for the World Youth Day celebrations. Our correspondent in Madrid during this event is Emma McCarthy, and she filed this report on the Pope's activities on Saturday morning.
Declararé próximamente a San Juan de Ávila presbítero doctor de la Iglesia Universal.
On Saturday, to the joy of Spaniards, priests and Catholics around the world, Pope Benedict XVI declared he would make St. John of Ávila a doctor of the Universal Church. Madrid's neo-Gothic Cathedral of Santa Maria la Real de la Almudena filled with the voices of young men raised in prayer, the future pastors of the Spanish Church. Looking at you, Pope Benedict told them, I again see proof of how Christ continues to call young disciples and to make them his apostles, thus keeping alive the mission of the Church and the offer of the gospel to the world. Mass with the young seminarians was Pope Benedict's second appointment of the day. Earlier in the morning, as the sun rose over the city, he had travelled to the vast park in the very heart of the capital, the Jardines del Buen Retiro. There, since midweek, priests from all over the world have been on hand to offer the sacrament of reconciliation to pilgrims, known as the Festival of Forgiveness. 200 open-air white wooden confessionals lined the park, and there on Saturday morning, for the first time ever during World Youth Day events, Pope Benedict joined the confessors to administer the sacrament to four young pilgrims, two French-speaking, one German-speaking, and one Spanish-speaking. Later in his homily in the Almudena Cathedral, he returned to the role of the priest as minister of God's forgiveness.
Pedidle pues a él que os conceda imitarlo en su caridad.
He said, ask him to let you imitate him in his perfect charity towards all, so that you do not shun the excluded and sinners, but help them convert and return to the right path.
E vuelvan al buen camino. Pedidle que os enseñe a estar muy cerca de los enfermos y de los pobres.
Ask him to teach you how to be close to the sick and the poor in simplicity and generosity. Face this challenge without anxiety or mediocrity, but rather as a beautiful way of living our human life in gratuitousness and service, as witnesses of God made man, messengers of the supreme dignity of the human person, and therefore its unconditional defenders. Pope Benedict XVI also gave words of advice to the over 6,000 young men, many of whom assisted in the celebration from the courtyard outside the cathedral. He said their years in the seminary should be years of interior silence, of unceasing prayer, of constant study, and of gradual insertion into the pastoral activity and structures of the Church. He told them to model themselves on Christ, supreme pastor, relying on his love, he said, do not be intimidated by surroundings that would exclude God, and in which power, wealth, and pleasure are frequently the main criteria ruling people's lives. He said you may be shunned along with others who propose higher goals, or who unmask the false gods before whom many now bow down. He said, that will be the moment when a life deeply rooted in Christ will clearly be seen as something new, and it will powerfully attract those who truly search for God, truth, and justice.
la verdad y la justicia.
Approach the priesthood, Pope Benedict said, only if you are firmly convinced that God is calling you to be his ministers and if you are completely determined to exercise it in obedience to the Church's precepts. Then, to the joy of the young men before him and the priests and lay faithful around the world, Pope Benedict XVI announced he would shortly declare the great 16th century preacher John of Avila, Doctor of the Universal Church.
A San Juan de Ávila, presbítero, Doctor de la Iglesia Universal.
There are currently 33 Doctors of the Church, including St. Augustine, St. Francis de Sales, and St. Teresa of Avila. St. Teresa of Lisieux was the last to be proclaimed Doctor of the Church by Blessed John Paul II in 1997. From Madrid, with Pope Benedict XVI, I'm Eimear McCarthy.
On Friday evening, Pope Benedict presided over Via Crucis, or Way of the Cross, liturgy in Madrid's central Cibeles Square, before a crowd of hundreds of thousands of young people. Eimear McCarthy tells us more about that moving event.
It was the first great ecclesial event of this 26th World Youth Day to take place in the presence of Pope Benedict XVI, and it was the very essence of Spanish devotion. The world had come to Madrid, and Madrid had brought the Iberian Holy Week, and in particular their Way of the Cross, to the world stage. Fraternities, ancient guilds of artisans, custodians of stations, had carried the precious statues from all four corners of the nation to Madrid's Cibeles Square. The station from Malaga, leaving the city boundaries for the first time in its centuries-old history. The sun was still high, beating down on the pilgrims as they watched the giant wooden World Youth Day cross come to rest before the first station, to the notes of Ubi Caritas. It was carried in turn along the path marking Christ's passion by young Christians from Iraq, from Rwanda, from Spain, from young Catholics with disabilities, young men and women who have recovered from addiction. The meditations were written by the Hermanas de la Cruz, Sisters of the Cross, the spiritual daughters of Ángela de la Cruz, a religious congregation founded in Seville, Spain in 1875. A congregation of women at the forefront in helping those whose society have forgotten, who care for today's suffering. In fact, the meditations were devoted to the problems of the world's youth, their sufferings. The third station, Peter's Denial, spoke of the innocent victims of the wars that devastate the nations and how Jesus calms the heart of many people who await the salvation of God in silence. The meditation on the ninth station, Jesus is stripped of his garments, of crimes against children. Jesus suffers with all those who suffer, with those that are victims of genocide, violence, rape and sexual abuse, crimes against children and adults. The reflection in the 13th station focused on the pain of parents who have lost children to hunger while affluent societies, swallowed by the dragon of consumerism, of materialistic perversion, sink in the nihilism of the emptiness of their lives. The final moment was the contemplation of Our Lady of Sorrows from Seville.
Son imágenes donde la fe y el arte se armonizan para llegar al corazón del hombre, invitarle a la conversión.
In these images, faith and art combine so as to penetrate our heart and summon us to conversion, said Pope Benedict. Christ's passion urges us to take upon our shoulders the sufferings of the world in the certainty that God is not distant or far removed from man and his troubles. On the contrary, he became one of us in order to suffer with man in an utterly real way. Then, the Pope concluded, with an appeal to the young people, that they go in search of those less fortunate, that they share their lives with others. So be sure not to pass by on the other side in the face of human suffering. For it is here, he said, that God expects you to give the very best of yourselves, your capacity for love and compassion.
Vosotros, que sois muy sensibles a la idea de compartir la vida con los demás, no pasáis de largo ante el sufrimiento humano, donde Dios os espera para que entreguéis lo mejor de vosotros mismos.
The cross was not a sign of failure, but an expression of self-giving in love. Then, to the chant of Benedicto, the Pope took his leave of Sibelius Square, which has been the protagonist of this World Youth Day to date. Saturday, celebrations moved to the vast space of Cuatro Vientos, the military airport on the outskirts of Madrid, for the great prayer vigil, and Sunday's closing World Youth Day Mass. With Pope Benedict in Madrid, I'm Emer McCarthy.
Bishops, priests and young pilgrims from every corner of the globe have flocked to Madrid for the World Youth Day event, and among them are a number of delegations from Britain. Bishop Arthur Roach of Leeds in northern England is in Madrid along with a delegation of young people from his diocese. Referring to the recent riots and looting carried out by young people in many cities across Britain, Bishop Roach told us that he believes this violence is the result of a consumerist society that's lost its sense of values, that's lost its Christianity.
We have 90 young people with us, but we've travelled together with two other dioceses, Middlesbrough, who have 50, and Lancaster, who have 40. So we make a larger group in all. So we're making our presence felt, even though we're quite small, in comparison to the thousands who are present here for the catechesis today.
Now, we're in the belly of a massive building. We're in the Palacio de Deportes, which is like this huge arena, and it literally has been taken over by more than 12,000 young people in the arena and another estimated 6,000 waiting outside on the street to access the arena. It's run by the Sisters of Life and the Knights of Columbus, and it's here that the main English-speaking catechisms are taking place. Were you present at this morning's catechism?
Yes, I was. And first of all, we had one of the Sisters of Life introducing the day and talking about how deeply precious these young people, indeed every human being, is to God. And she did it so beautifully, with great humour. And all of that, of course, was prefaced beforehand by great sort of singing and festive mood. And all the English people are here from the United States, from Canada, from Australia, New Zealand, and of course from Britain. And there's such a terrific atmosphere in between, you know, between all of those countries, great rivalry, as you'd expect, rather, and that's fitting for a sports arena in which we're assembled today.
Now, of course, the catechism is a fundamental part of the World Youth Day experience. A lot of people think it is just a festival for young people, but it's a little bit more than that, isn't it?
Absolutely. And you can see it's one of the amazing things. I thought this morning when I came in, and there was so much joy and exuberance and high-spiritedness amongst the young people, that it would be very difficult to calm them down to hear the catechesis. But as soon as the speakers started to enter into their catechesis, there was absolute quiet. And not only that, you feel that there's an enormous thirst amongst these young people for the truth. They applauded very small phrases that were highly significant. You know, don't let your faith die. And they rose to that. You know, be people who totally believe in life. And they rose to it. And the spontaneity would convince people like me, who is a pastor of a church in a very difficult situation in a secularized society, as we have experienced in England, that the faith is very much alive in their hearts. They have tremendous generosity, and they have, I think, an uncluttered insight into truth and into real values.
I have to ask the question because, of course, you are a bishop from England, where we have seen in very recent times a very different side to what can go so horribly wrong among young people today. And I don't believe that it's particular to young English people. I believe that this is a discontent that we're seeing right across Europe. We saw it here in May in Spain when the young people occupied the Plaza del Sol. This offers another face to the young people of Britain. What would your reaction be to what we saw take place in London and other British cities, these young people rioting and looting? I know there's no easy explanation and there's no easy solution, but can you just speak to us perhaps a little bit about that?
I think it's a result in no small part of a consumerist society that has lost its sense of values. The Prime Minister has spoken about that. In fact, it's lost its Christianity. And our country was built based on Christianity. Our laws were built and based on the law of God. And once you turn your back on that and you try to create values in a sort of humanistic context, all you're getting is total and utter confusion. So the youngsters in Tottenham and in other parts of Britain who have been resorting to violence, I believe, are really very unhappy, disenchanted, deep within themselves, and are really in need of God. It's a great sorrow to me that neither the BBC nor Sky News are here to see the opposite amongst our own countrymen, who are so full of joy, great generosity, wonderful prayerfulness, peace, and that contemplative spirit which is in such contrast with what we've seen in England recently.
Would all the young people travelling with you be practising Catholic, fervent Catholics, for want of a better word, or would some of them be perhaps born into the Catholic faith but wavering in their faith? And more importantly, what about when they go back to Leeds? What will you be asking them to do then, after this experience?
Well, it's a mixed bag. The majority of them would be practising their faith. But there are some who are hit and miss, and there are some who have just been sucked in to coming here because of their friends whom they admire and respect. Before we come, we spend about a year catechizing all those who are coming. And when we return, we don't let them go. We hold on to them with events and so on and encourage them. And some of the most surprising conversions have been experienced with our young because of World Youth Day and because of events like this, and not least the Lourdes Pilgrimage, which is such a very major part of our devotion in England. And these youngsters, you know, every youngster is open to God. Every youngster has an enormous capacity to receive the message of Christ and to live by it. So I'm very hopeful that those who are perhaps lukewarm and a little shaky will become more and more strengthened and convinced about their faith.
That was Bishop Arthur Roach of Leeds speaking to Emma McCarthy. Emma also caught up with a group of young pilgrims from the British Diocese of Northampton. They too spoke about the recent violence that has rocked British cities. Let's hear her interview with them.
Yeah, well, as it's been said before, like our group from the Northampton Diocese, we've been meeting for the entire year actually to prepare us for World Youth Day. So we've got a really strong connection with each other and really great friendships that have formed. And because we're all from the same diocese, obviously, we're fairly close together. And I think that having a support network of young Catholics who have been through the same experience as you, because it's so difficult to describe to anyone else what it's quite like being here. So to have that sort of support network, we can help each other and sort of check up on each other that we're sort of coping in the reality of life, which, as you say, in the United Kingdom, it's not easy to have a faith and to keep it going without all challenges from outside you. So I think it will be a challenge when we get back, but hopefully our experiences will be kept alive and our memories of this time together and then our friendships that we've formed can sort of be a really great support network for when we go back to normal life.
Another, of course, important aspect of World Youth Day, the International World Youth Day gatherings, is that one very particular pilgrim
comes along to join you guys. Pope Benedict arrives for the last 4 days here in Madrid. Assume you have, considering he was in the UK not so long ago. So this obviously is not the first time that you have taken part in a celebration.
What I found when he did come to the UK, when we gathered in London, it was absolutely amazing with the amount of people that were there, that just the sort of uniting from all around the world, which we've already experienced like last night and hopefully will for the rest of the week. Just the enormous number of people, because when you're at home, there's not that many Catholics where I live, and it's quite hard to imagine that you're not on your own.
The UK has been in the news. We can't avoid it. It's been in the news in the last month and a half because of what has been happening, not only in London, but in other cities around England. And unfortunately, the images that the rest of the world has seen is that it's been a lot of young people taking part in the violence, the riots and the looting. What would you say is the conditions of these young people? What are their feelings? I know there's no easy solution, there's no easy reason, but as young people, how do you view this? Young people from England.
I think it's important to say that they're not protesters. They haven't got a point to make. They are mindless vandals, and they're basically out for all they can steal. It makes me feel disgusted to be English, because what they are doing in no way makes any sort of point. They're not frustrated anyway. They are just causing mayhem for their own benefit. And my sister lives in central London, and after the first couple of nights, she decided it was going to be better for her to go and stay with a friend. Now, it makes me feel disgusted that my sister, in this day and age, doesn't feel comfortable enough to stay in her own house. And I think it's important to say that people aren't behind them, that the rest of the country is horrified about it. And we've got the Olympics next year, and this is just terrible press for England in the run-up to that.
But having said that, a lot of people have said it's because these young people feel they have no future, that they feel they have no support network. Is there any reason in that opinion?
I would say it's because England has become such a secular society. There is no faith. And I think that is such an important thing to me. My church, for me, is a second home. I've gone to the same church my whole life, which is literally just around the corner from my house. So everybody there I'm very comfortable with. It's a second family. There's somebody that I can talk to about every situation. But a lot of these people don't have that. And I can't say that maybe in some way our society isn't to blame for what's going on, but I don't think that they should be using that as an excuse or as a shield. And if I felt I didn't have any future, it wouldn't make me want to go out and riot. You know, I'd look at myself and I'd go out and try and better myself in some way. And they were also talking about original protest being made because a young person was shot by the police in London a few weeks ago. But that was very much a peaceful protest because they didn't believe he was armed at the time, and that the police overstepped the mark, basically. Also, maybe to mention on that point, is that the police in England don't carry guns on a regular basis. So for somebody to be shot by the police is kind of out of the ordinary and serious. So maybe these kids don't feel that they have a future, but I think they're going completely in the wrong way to doing it. Also, another point that was made on the news is that it's the summer holidays and that it's boredom. Because of all the government cuts, we are losing a lot of services, youth services, particularly in the major cities, where their budgets are stretched so tight that they just can't afford to pay for youth workers and things like that. And I think that is somewhere else where the church can step in. Lay people can step in and set up things like that. Obviously, that's a very big ask. But, you know, God told us to love our neighbour. And who is our neighbours? Everyone. Everybody that we meet. And so, although I don't agree with what they're doing in London, maybe there is something we can do to alleviate that situation.
Looking now towards the World Youth Day as a whole, okay, I don't know about you, but when I've been here in Spain, I've seen other young people, obviously not young Spanish Catholics, on the streets hanging out flyers, protesting against the church. These are people you meet every day in all societies, I think, in a lot of the secular world. How difficult is it for you when you're faced with these people? How difficult it is for you to have conversation? Can you have a conversation with them? Is there discussion with other people who do not share your views? Because we know that Britain is a multicultural society, so it must be something you come up against quite often.
Yeah, because a lot of my friends at uni, they don't have the same belief as me. But to be fair, that's their choice, and I completely accept that. I'm not fighting against it. I choose what I want to believe in. I don't worry about whatever what other people believe in, because it's not. I don't think it's my place to try and maybe convince them, because it's to be fair, if they want to become Catholics or something like, they have to choose that. They have to want to believe it. And for me, I just feel I don't need to worry about it, because I see people every day handing out flyers, like at my uni there was one like, is God real, and all these sort of questions, and that's their choice.
Yeah, also at uni, I'm in a house with next year there'll be mostly Christians, but there's one girl who isn't, and I think the main thing that she finds hard is when some of the others might sort of try and preach to her and sort of say this is right and everything. But I think the most important thing is the way we act in everyday life. If they can see something in us that's different to them and something they're missing, I think that's the greatest way that you can evangelize in a way.
I'd also just like to say though that I think it is important to look at other people's views and try and understand where they're coming from, because I think that rather than just sort of bombard them with your own personal views, I think if you listen to what they're saying, then maybe you can take their examples of things and turn it around to see how you look at the same situation. Rather than just sort of arguing with each other, I think it's important to listen to what other people think and take into account what they're saying. And that can also challenge your own faith and make you stronger in your beliefs.
That was Emma McCarthy speaking to a group of British pilgrims attending the World Youth Day event. Later on Saturday, Pope Benedict was scheduled to visit a home for children suffering from physical and mental disabilities, run by the Catholic Hospital Order of St. John of God. Afterwards, he was due to travel outside Madrid to the nearby military airport of Cuatro Vientos for his final engagement, a prayer vigil with young people. Pilgrims were making their way to the airport throughout the day to attend this event, and one of them was 20-year-old Antonia from Scotland, who won a Facebook competition that earned her a frontline place on the stage for the vigil. Eva McCarthy caught up with Antonia earlier as she waited in line in Madrid to pick up her accreditation pass for the event.
It was a Facebook event, a competition. I'd won a seat on the stage with the Pope on the vigil, so looking forward to it.
What moved you to want to take part in World Youth Day?
It's just something that I've wanted to take part in. I've saw the videos and spoke to other people, been to Sydney and things, and I thought this looks like a brilliant event. Meet people from all over the world of the same faith and just share experiences.
So it really is a word of mouth thing, isn't it?
It really is, yeah. It just spreads, especially through social networking, I think.
How important is, do you think people really get how important and how much communicating young people do through social networks?
I think it's becoming more common and more important for people, because they realise that is the easiest way and a really good communicator for people. But
and what did you have to do exactly?
It was a last minute thing. It was just last month. You had to invite other people, your other friends, and share the word of World Youth Day to everyone else.
That was Antonia from Scotland, who won a Facebook competition, giving her a frontline place on the stage for the prayer vigil with Pope Benedict on Saturday evening. Well, that's all for today from me, Susie Hodges, here at Vatican Radio's English programme. But we'll be on the air again at the same time tomorrow. And you can always find our programmes on the internet at www.vaticanradio.org. Laudato Jesus Christus.